Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. I am joined by CEO of your United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, Terry Johns.
Good morning.
We got the band back together. We're here to have some fun. We're going to get in some entertainment news in a moment. After that, we will touch on some That Ain't Right stories, good stories of the day. We also got to get into four tips to boost your AC performance in a heat wave. Should have done that last week. I'll get to this stuff
well,
right now.
It might get warm again.
Yeah, it could. We got August right around the corner. We're also going to get into local good stories of the day. We got a lot of great stuff to touch on. Speaking of the family center.
Of touching.
And touch the truck and that coming up. We'll also talk about what's going on at the Stork Point Bus and wrap up with our friends at the United Way. Right now, diving into entertainment. And this has been a long time story behind the scenes. Interesting to see it being talked about a little bit more out in the open. Talking about my dream job, Saturday Night Live, their boss, the creator, the godfather of Saturday Night Live, Lorne Michaels, is 78, which means it might not be too much longer before NBC needs to find a replacement. And that replacement could be, and more than likely will be, Tina Fey. Sources say she is the leading contender and possibly the only contender being seriously considered at the moment.
That's cool.
At least one so-called insider says the talks are already underway. Lauren hasn't announced any plans to retire, but in an interview a few years ago, he said the show's 50th anniversary would be a good time to bow out. Season 50 begins in the fall of 2024, and with this strike going on, it's given him a chance to really sit back and kind of gauge his career. First off, I don't know if you will ever find a greater talent scout in the world than Lorne Michaels. Look at Lorne Michaels' resume for talent that he has found in this country, in Canada.
It is crazy.
It's insane. I don't know anybody that'll ever have a record like his and a resume like his. All the stars that just, I mean, it's insane what happened. But for a long time, this has been talked about behind the scenes, going way back to even the first original cast. Part of the trouble with Chevy Chase was Chevy Chase's ego thought that he should be running Saturday Night Live. Not the lead writer, not the lead actor, the whole thing.
Well,
that he knew more and was better at this job than Lorne Michaels and such.
But
and
look where it got him.
Exactly.
Not in the role.
Exactly. Nowhere even in the, not even close to the running. No.
You know.
But so that kind of burnt Lorne Michaels a bit. And for a very long time, he was just going to kind of like go down with the ship. Like to be real about this, they weren't sure if Saturday Night Live would last like 4 or 5 seasons, let alone 50 seasons.
But then it does call the question, like, does it end with him?
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, do you just let it fade off, right? Like, had a good 50 years is an amazing run. So then does it just end? Or is it a legacy that can move forward with someone else?
Well, that's where things changed. Because for a long time, that's how I believe it was going to go. They were going to do 50 seasons if they got lucky enough to do it. And then he was going to retire with the show. But then he met Tina Fey. And as a Second City alum, I can tell you I've watched Tina's earliest sketches. I've read her earliest sketches. I've never read or seen anything like it in my life. I've studied this.
She is so funny.
She's so good, people. and I don't think I think it keeps getting lost in the shuffle with her. There's another version of this, another parallel universe where we don't even know Tina Fey's name. Like people like me might, but she's not a household name because
right.
Tina, when she was about 6 years old, a man tried to kidnap her, and she screamed, and the guy cut her face. And so she has a faint scar on her cheek that you can't see that well right now. And even as a young lady, you couldn't see that well. But boy, it didn't just scar her on her face. It scarred her physically, mentally, all of that. She had no plans on ever being on the front of the stage. Her, Amy Poehler and Rachel Dratch were a tandem. And Tina would write the sketches, and Amy and Rachel would act them out. But Amy and Rachel really thought Tina was funnier, and she'd be out there. And so they push her and push her, and they all get a break at Saturday Night Live. Lorne Michaels loves Tina Fey. It's like, I need all three of you. He brings them all in, and Tina Fey is the first person to really kind of push Lorne Michaels a little bit. Kind of like, hey, you're not really doing a lot of female sketches. You guys have always been kind of a boys' club and really pushing a lot of that. And the different sketches and the different things that changed when Tina Fey joined, it's been completely different in SNL since. And very early, like a couple of years before she left, Lauren would tease her, you know you're not going anywhere. You're always going to be here. You're always going to be a part of this. You're going to take over one day. And Tina would say, I don't want to do that. I'm not, and she's very, very, very humble, incredibly, almost too humble of a human being. This isn't surprising to anybody that's been paying attention to this. There's only one person in the world that should take over for Lorne Michaels, and it's me. If it's not me, it's no. It's Tina Fey.
So
Tina
anyway, Fey. How are you going to get your head through the door on the road? Or?
No, it ain't going to happen. I am very happy that this will happen. I don't bet
it's really
on
cool.
anything, but I would bet money on this.
Yeah.
And if there's anybody to take over, it's her. I personally believe that she's the funniest person in the world. I generally think that. I don't know. It's one of those great things because everybody has their own answer and there's no wrong answers, unless maybe Carrot Top. I'm joking. I have nothing against Carrot Top.
I'm not a fan.
I don't really like her or dislike him. I don't care. AI is a huge concern of striking actors and writers, but while they're demanding protections from artificial intelligence, the studios are secretly ramping up the AI capabilities by looking to hire specialists. For instance, Disney is hiring at least half a dozen AI jobs with six-figure salaries. Netflix recently posted an ad for an AI product manager.
Wait, human AI people?
Yeah, people in charge of the AI. Yes, this is what it's come to.
I didn't know if it was AI in charge of AI.
You know, forget
and like, how much do we pay them? Don't we pay them?
This is again what this is all about. This is why actors and writers are striking right now.
It's so weird.
It doesn't end here, Terry. They have now. Politicians are getting in on this. Politicians are having their speeches written by AI. Their commercials done by AI. Do you want to vote for an AI? Is that what you want? Do you want to vote for...
But break it down aside from, obviously, you're passionate about the writers thing. Other people are passionate about, you know, different ways that it affects. But just take all of that out and just think about just the creepiness of the nature of it.
Yeah.
Just in general.
Yeah.
The invasive... to me, it's just like, is this really happening? Like, and I know... Yeah. It's been happening forever. We just don't, you know, and continues to evolve. But I just sometimes I'm just like, oh, put me back in my bubble because it's just weird.
Where we come from as actors and writers, and that is not all of them, obviously, but the majority of actors and writers got into this because they love entertaining people. They like art. They like being creative. And you can make a buck doing it. Sounds great to me. Let's sign me up. I'm all in for that. Whereas the producers, it's all numbers. All you are to them out there, not only us, it isn't just us actors and writers we're fighting for here. It's you too. It's your entertainment. Do you want to be entertained, I ask you? Well, you want to be entertained by a computer or do you want to be entertained by us? Like, where is your interest in this? Because if you think that you're not a part of this, you so are. If you've ever taken in a movie, a TV show, a song, or anything like that, or you plan to in the future, you're a part of this.
So AI in general, though, like, I don't know what the right question is. Is the mastermind behind the create, you know what I mean? Like, how did it get to a point where you can literally ask a question and it can spit you out a pair? Like, it's kind of baffling. Like I said, if you take away all of the personal impact, and I'm not suggesting there is an impact because there is, and it's negative mostly. Mm-hmm. But just breaking it down, like how it got to where it is now, is just weird. I just can't wrap my head around
it. I'm with you on this. Yeah, it's very weird. Taking a look at new music coming out today, Austin from Post Malone. This is his fifth album. He plays guitar on every track, interestingly. Utopia from Travis Scott. Got The Loveliest Time from Carly Rae Jepsen. How about this? At Newport from Joni Mitchell. Joni Mitchell got a new album.
Nice.
That is pretty cool. Brandi Carlile also helped produce the album, so she's on there a little bit too.
Okay, what was the one at Loveliest what?
The Loveliest Time.
The Loveliest Time.
From Carly Rae Jepsen.
I want to hear that. Because is it lovely? Or is it like obnoxiously loud? And
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not
like,
sure.
I'm intrigued by that
I don't know her that well to know. And new movies in the theaters this weekend, Talk to Me, rated R. That's in limited release. Probably won't see it around here unless it is, of course, in the owner's pocket. And let me see. Haunted Mansion, rated PG-13. Rosario Dawson, Owen Wilson, my man, Lakeith Stanfield.
Looks kind of cute. I'm curious about Owen Wilson as a preacher. Yes, so yeah, I think that's hilarious. But okay, let's talk about a movie. Barbie.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw it.
Oh, you did? Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. What'd you think?
Well, I mean, it was fun because there was a lot of flashback to playing with, like, I mean, so there's, I'm not going to give anything away, but there's like Barbie Land and then there's the real world, yeah, right? Yeah. So there's in this movie. But it's so funny, in Barbie Land, like there would be, like, let's say like the Barbie motorhome or whatever, you know, they'd push the button and it would actually fold out. Like, yeah, it, I mean, it just,
oh, cool.
Barbie steps out of her shoes in the beginning and like her feet stay, you know, like there was just so much cute stuff like that. Now, I don't need it probably ever watch it again.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was cute. It was funny. There was some, I mean, I can see why it's rated PG-13. There was a little bit of innuendo. Like, it's not really a kid movie.
Okay.
But it was good. It was funny. Will Ferrell was hilarious, as you expect. Yeah. But, and honestly, I didn't really know, because I don't, obviously, you know this, like, I don't pay attention really to like who actors are, what their names are, whatever. Leonardo DiCaprio in Growing Pains.
No, it's baffling you.
But this Margot Robbie, who plays Barbie, she's really good.
Oh, yeah, she is. Yes, she is.
And she was the perfect, they called her stereotypical Barbie. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it was sweet. It was cute.
I think she's if not the greatest, one of the greatest young actors in the game today. Everything I've seen her do has been amazing. Just amazing. She is really talented.
Well, and Ryan Gosling was hilarious as Ken. I like, you know, like no brain beach guy. Like, I mean, he just, and he did it perfect.
I like the idea of him getting to do more comedy and things like that.
It just was funny. There's a lot of, a lot of the feminist movement in the movie and a lot of, you know, underlying. But like I said, it was enjoyable. It was fun. A lot of flashbacks to Barbie things from, you know, when we were kids. And and then they'd hit on like some discontinued Barbies and, you know, just fun like that. But I don't know. Worth seeing it once.
So you got a good review from you.
Yeah. And you're supposed to wear pink when you go. So when you go, hustle up a pink shirt.
I don't know. Oh, I do. I have a Science by the River shirt. I have a Science by the River shirt. That's there you pink. Go. Yes. I don't think I'll be seeing that. I want to see Oppenheimer. That's what I want to see. Looking at our weekend lineup, we've got some really great stuff lined up for you, and it kicks off at 7 every Saturday morning with the Sunshine Polka Show. Maybe the greatest show ever created. We love that show. Love Tim.
We love Tim.
Great job Tim does scouring the universe looking for unique and fun, awesome polka for you. Be sure to join us for the Sunshine Polka Show every Saturday at 7, and it plays again at noon on Sunday
if you miss it. The whole universe.
Whole universe. Tim's talented.
He is right on it.
He knows people in bars. He knows people all over.
He knows a guy.
He knows a guy, yeah. There you go. That's the lingo I'm used to. On Sunday, of course, we've got, of course, Over the Back Fence. I almost skated past that. 11 to noon, join my man Seth for that. Seth does a great job hosting the show, talking and taking your calls. He's been having a lot of fun with the show and doing some different things with it, too, that I really enjoy. Bring your items that you're looking for, items you want to sell, garage and rummage sales. Bring them to us. We'll help you advertise them on Over the Back Fence. From 11 to noon, call up 424-2600.
But don't really bring them to us. Just call us.
Yeah, if you physically bring them here, we are probably not going to be able to help you much.
I mean, but, you know, Seth is just sitting looking out the window, so you could. It's good. I mean, you can just hold it up.
Not a bad point. Of course, Sunday, got a couple of great shows lined up for you. It kicks off with Seth Faces the Music from 6 to 8. Seth takes a different theme, dives into it, and gives you not only great music surrounding that theme, but little sounders and different things. And
do we know this week's theme, or is it super secret?
I think it's a secret, but I'll have to double check with him.
All right, I've just,
I'm gonna double check with him, and I'll find out before the end of the show. But looking forward to this one, as I do everyone.
Like, is it Airplane Songs?
My dad's a big fan of that show, and every musician we've had in for Director's Cut mention that that they love that show.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Pretty cool. Check it out, 6 to 8. And while you're with us, be sure to stick around from 8 to 9 for Director's Cut. This week, very special guest, Michael Charles. Michael joined us on WFHR here some years back, an Australian guitarist that comes out of Chicago. He came to this country to play with Buddy Guy. Buddy Guy loved him and helped him build his name in this state. Michael is going to be performing at Holly Rocks next weekend. He's performing all over this area in the Midwest here. Dan Kenning, a great writer for the Chicago Tribune, once called Michael the Australia's answer to Stevie Ray Vaughan. And very similar to Stevie Ray Vaughan or Buddy Guy, one of the things I love about listening to Michael is I feel like I get to know Michael through his playing. And then once you get to talk to him, you're like, yep, Yeah, that's the guy. That's that guy. One of the most favorite conversations I've ever had happened yesterday with Seth and Michael.
Awesome.
It was so good. It was such a fun conversation. Be sure to check it this Sunday from 8 to 9. After that, we're going to have our friend Anna. She was with us on our FRM Friday a little while ago with Anna Makes Music. Anna's a recent Point grad, and she's going to be hanging out with us playing some piano and everything. That's going to be fun. And then on the next Director's Cut, I don't know if I can announce it yet, but our biggest guest yet.
Oh. Dun, dun, dun.
I am chomping at the bit, Terry. I have to go to commercial break, otherwise I'm going to ruin it. But I am telling you, it is a great guest. We are so excited for it.
Is it already recorded or is still coming?
No, it's still coming. That's why I don't want to announce it yet, because you just never know what can happen.
Don't jinx it.
Oh, yeah, I'm so excited. We'll tell you about that more later in the week next week. For right now, stick around, because we got good stuff coming up, like some tips to help you boost your AC during the heat wave on the morning show here at WFH. HR, locally grown radio. No. Try this again.
Wait,
all right.
There's veto power?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
What?
Yeah, we got veto problem. You didn't know that? Yeah. Yeah.
Hit the next one. Well, I'll keep this one.
Yeah. Yeah. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Terry and James here with you.
I can't believe that is ridiculous. There's been about 1,000 of these I've wanted to veto.
Oh yeah, yeah. I was holding off telling you. I wasn't going to tell you until I absolutely had to.
Until you hated one and you had to not play it.
No, I'm joking. No, that's always been there. That's always been. I just never really thought you really cared that much one way or the other.
I kind of do. I kind of like the '80s ones better than the '90s ones.
Yeah,
just saying.
Okay, good to know. Good to know. I do remember you saying that.
So, that's why you always play the 90 ones?
I try not to, actually. I mean to hit the 80s ones sometimes. Since a good chunk of the country is experiencing sweltering temperatures, here are 4 tips to boost your air conditioner's performance in a heat wave if you're lucky enough to have AC. So don't mess with the thermostat. Set it at the temp you want and leave it alone.
I agree.
Setting it lower to try to cool things down faster isn't efficient. It doesn't, it rarely works.
I also, and people will argue with me on this all day long, but the whole concept of even like with your heat and that, like adjusting it for when you're not there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they say like the smart thermostats do that. And I'm like, but then when you change the temperature for later, when you are there, up or down, then it has to work that much harder to do it. Why not just keep it maintained?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. No, I agree with you. And the science proves that.
I mean,
too.
If you touch my thermostat, I might break your fingers.
Yeah. That, I've only touched a handful of thermostats in my life because everybody feels that way.
Like you're going to walk in and touch someone's thermostat.
I swear to you, my parents have 2 floors. And you could be on the first floor where the thermostat is and just thinking about touching it, and you'll hear my mother scurrying upstairs. What's going on down there?
Yep.
Somebody looking for a smack upside the head?
Same. It's motherly intuition.
Yes. Clean the filters and coils. Dirty filters impede airflow, and dusty coils make it harder for your unit to cool your house. Basic maintenance goes a long way. You get into a routine on these things. We've talked about this before with fire alarms. You change that battery on a certain day every year on that day, and you clean your filters every year, and you keep up on this stuff.
I'm thinking
the routine.
Just me personally, maintaining that stuff, though, not right now when it's 90.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because what if something breaks? Then you have no AC. Like, I'm more of a do your maintenance, what, March, April,
yes.
And September, October?
Yes.
You know, get your furnace ready, get your AC ready, but...
I agree
that it improves your efficiency for sure.
Turn off heat-producing appliances. During the hottest part of the day, turn off anything that produces heat, like stoves, dishwashers, and lights.
Did you hear that? All the cooks out there, you're off the hook.
Yes, yes, you were off.
Carry out, people.
Yeah, carry out, or you're making sandwiches. You know, that's about it. That's one of those ones that I think either you were reminded of as soon as you do start to use the stove. The stove is the big one to me.
Or like in our family room in our basement, we have an electric fireplace. And it's nice because it just kind of, you know, it's still a basement, right? So you get a little bit of that damp or just the, so you turn that on for like 5 minutes and it just takes all of that out of the air.
Yeah.
Except for yesterday when I went down there and it was on.
Oh, no.
There are some people at my house that are lucky they're alive. I'm like, why is the fireplace on?
Yeah, yeah.
You all are outside in the swimming pool, and the fireplace is on in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I'm with you on this. 100%. 100%. Let's see. And finally, run a ceiling fan. Having the breeze blowing on you will help cool you down faster. And of course, we were talking about this yesterday with the making sure that the fan
keep
is going.
The circulation in the going, yes.
Yeah, making sure that the fan is turning the right way, too, if it has that option.
Almost all of them do. I mean, we built our house 20 years ago, and all the fans we have in have it, you know, have a direction changer. So.
I think another one too, and it's so hard to do this during this time of year, but if you like in your living room and you got a bunch of windows and the sun is pounding through, you know, closing the drapes a bit helps a little, I don't do it. I don't do it.
Yeah.
I don't even
I
do it here. I know that like in the afternoon when I come in to do Playmakers, it's 3 p.m. The sun,
it does
right
get really
in
hot in here.
It gets really hot, but especially with all your closing those drapes,
hot air, but yeah, that you know, but help. It that does, but I agree. I don't cover mine. So for those of you who do have a fan that you can change the direction of, for summer, your blades should be going counterclockwise.
Yes.
So pushing that air down, basically. And then in the winter, you flip it so that it pulls, mm-hmm. you know, keeps the circulation going. So it does make a big difference.
It really does. If you haven't, I mean, go ahead and try it. You can always flip
now,
it back.
I mean, you know,
agree.
Like if you haven't dusted your fan blades for a while, not speaking from experience, but when you switch the direction, lots of dust blows off.
Oh, yeah.
And then you don't even have to clean them. You just got to clean the floor.
There you go. Just get the vacuum out and done. And there's some and more tips for household cleaning
that's
coming
right.
up.
Here we go.
That's a good one. Actually, that's a good one.
It's true.
I'm trying to think of things that, like, without AC, and we've talked about this quite a bit ad nauseum, but as long as we're on the topic, you know, different ways that you can stay cool, because I know a lot of people that don't have AC.
But, and I was thinking, even if you do, like, making sure doors are shut tight.
Yes.
You know, it's easy when kids come through, teenagers, whomever comes through, you know, and the door isn't shut tight, or maybe you have a storm door or a screen door, and when it is nice out, you leave your regular door open. Yeah. But you know, keep that stuff closed when you're running your AC.
I noticed this a little bit more in Point, but you got a similar situation here, maybe just not as much. With a lot of these older houses, people aren't always familiar where the vents are. And understanding where those are and if they're open or not. I know it sounds silly, but I've run into it. I've seen people I didn't know this was here.
Especially in old houses. So like our United Way building, I mean, it's 100 years old, 103 years old. And so we have it set, most of the registers actually on the main floor are closed so that the AC pushes all the way to the second floor and then, you know, and then works its way down. And so sometimes you have to be a little bit strategic about that. I remember when I was a kid, at my parents' house, we had two window units. You know, we didn't have central air.
Yeah, yeah.
We had two big window units. And one was in the living room, and then one was in my parents' bedroom. So kind of opposite ends of the house. But we would actually close all the doors. When we first turned it on, we'd close all the other doors and just kind of cool down one room at a time. Right? So when that room was cool, then you might open the door to the next room and let it go there. Because if you just let it try to cool down the whole house,
it took forever.
Yeah, and at least this way you had one room to start with that was nice and nice and cool. But yeah, you're right. There are plenty of folks that don't have AC. And so fans, of course, are important. And then you might want to pull the drapes, right?
Right?
Keep the sun out a little bit.
And especially since we got a whole other month here of summer coming, and we don't know what to expect. Not even the Farmer's Almanac really knows what to expect with the season we've had weather-wise. You know, check in on your neighbors, your senior neighbors out, just neighbors in general, but especially seniors out there, ones that you know that might live alone. You know, checking up on them is never going to hurt. It's a nice thing to do, and you get a good conversation in there.
Drink lots of water.
Stay hydrated
take
out there.
Take your walks in the morning or in the evening, you know, avoid that middle of the day for being outside,
especially with your furry friends. You think it's hot on your bare feet on the concrete, think about them, that they got four of them on that concrete. Keep them off that concrete at certain points in the day.
They're not dancing.
It's hot. And keep that in mind, everybody, and be safe out there and enjoy what we have here. We got summer, everyone. Enjoy it.
Clean your furnace filter, man,
and clean the dang filter. Turn the fan. They could go
the
other way.
Counterclockwise for summer.
Mm-hmm. Taking a break, going to Melissa's News. We'll come back with some more fun on The Morning Show at WFHR. Kind of fitting.
Hey, you hit 90s again.
Yeah. I meant to hit 80s. I'm just teasing you. Yeah,
rude.
I know. Rude. It's rude. I know. But look at the one that came on. A good one. Kind of fitting. We hope you're having a great one out there. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you're having a great Friday. Thanks so much for hanging out with Terry and I. Got some good stuff that we want to get into before we wrap up the show for today. So this is an interesting one. There was a recent report that Gen Z is drinking less, and the clubs are not happy about it. So this TikToker disagrees with the first part of that sentence. She says they are still drinking, but cocktails and bars are so expensive, they're forced to pregame at home. I'm going to let her speak to this herself.
Actually, a lot of us are still drinking, just not at the club. Now, I can't speak for other cities, but in New York and the Bay Area, clubs are literally charging $20 for a tiny drink that tastes like gasoline, and that doesn't even include tip, because you know I'm going to tip. Ideally, I'd like to buy a drink about once an hour, so let's say I go out for an average of 3 hours. That's like $70 just to go out and drink, aka like a week of groceries. So at least for me and my friends, not that we're not drinking, it's that we're pre-gaming like nobody's business, because we're economical women.
Whoa.
So, first of all, I want to know why she's ordering drinks that taste like gasoline.
That's a lot of places.
I mean, you know. But, I mean, I do get that. Like, there's a song that I like. It's on the countryside, of course. But in one of the lines in there is, make a 20 last like it's 1990. You know, they're talking about going out. And it's because it is really different, you know.
Yeah.
And so, cost-wise, yeah, for sure. And, you know, as long as you're safe about it, right? Like, pre-gaming is okay plan.
Yeah. Anybody take a look at alcohol sales? Doing just fine. Doing just fine.
I mean, with those Gen Zers, what the heck?
Yeah, people are still drinking. They're just tired of paying $18 for a beer. You know, they're just, they've not. Now, in rural communities, you don't have this as much. But even in areas like this, we have seen an influx of this.
So Gen Z is who, I just looked it up. So they're like born 1997 to 2012.
Yeah.
So that's also kind of the generation of, I don't know why we have, but we've kind of just really spoiled them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, in general.
I don't think it's unfair to say that necessarily.
And so, I'm just saying. So I think kind of they get out on their own and they're doing their own thing. Like she said, well, that's a week's worth of groceries. Well, yeah, newsflash, it's been a week's worth of groceries for your parents the whole time.
Yeah. That's the part that bothers me, is the idea that they're the first, like, first off, that they're the first ones to think of some of these things. Yeah. We've been pre-gaming a long time, sister. And there's been very smart women for a long time. Okay. That part was a little bit like, what are you talking about?
That's kind of funny.
Yeah. But more so, I think that it's just like they learned this from other generations.
Yeah.
Like,
and they're having their aha moment, and that's okay. You know, all of a sudden they're like, whoa, this is, but it is kind of funny.
The other part of this too, though, I find interesting is there's another whole other side of this, of why people are pre-gaming at home and not drinking much at bars. And it's because of these really evil men and people that like spike drinks and things. You turned me onto this a lot, Terry, where I didn't know how bad it was and for how long it's been this bad. There's a video circulating right now of a guy at a club who does this, and this girl has a camera set on the bar to watch her drink. Like, are you kidding me? We're making women do this? Women are at this point that they feel like they got to do that? They can't even just go out and have a good time?
Yep. Empty your drink or have it with you. Do not even to go to the bathroom. Do not even leave it to go to the bathroom. Empty it or take it along.
I was raised a gentleman, and I understand that not everybody was, but what, guys?
I know. It's just obnoxious.
It's beyond obnoxious. It's criminal. It's insulting. It's none of us are here without women. Like, what are we doing? This isn't me trying to jump on a women's rights cause or because I was raised by a hippie feminist or anything like that. I'm just a human being. I would like to think that you don't need to have any of those factors to think that, hey, we should have women's backs in bars. A woman should be able to go to a bar and have a good time with her girlfriends just like a guy can.
Yeah. It is. It's
that's
obnoxious.
Insane to me.
And there's really nothing, right? Predators, right? There's nothing else to really call them.
No,
like
they're. The
I mean, they're. You know, it's.
They are cowards. They are evil. And I don't use the word evil. We throw that word around way too much. I only use it when it is app. It is app in this situation.
Yeah,
that is a scum that there is no. There's dirt, and then there's scum. You can do things with dirt. You can build things with dirt. You can plant with dirt. Scum, you can't do nothing with that. You just throw it away. And people like that, man, I don't have any empathy whatsoever with something like that. So there's that side of this too, where a lot of women are drinking at home, and when they go to the bars, they'll order water or they'll order something. The other thing I've heard, Terry, there's drinks now that turn a color if something is put into it.
Yeah, like my it's God. Just. But honestly, I would never leave a drink unattended. You know, I think the other thing too, though, about this generation, well, just in general, I shouldn't say it's the Gen Zs, but like when we were young adults, we went out because that's how we connected with our friends.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, now everyone's connected through their, like, constantly. Right, right. So the need to meet somewhere to socialize, I wish more people would still do it because I think that it's created this social awkwardness. But I think, too, that's just part of it. Like, they're so connected all the time. It's not like, hey, you know, I haven't seen you in a week. We'll meet on Friday and catch up.
Yeah. This could be a then a right story, could be a what the what story, but it's time for some interesting news covering the most important news for your brain. Here's a quick rundown of some science stuff. For those that didn't hear, Congress had its big UFO hearing on Wednesday. The wildest claim was the U.S. government has recovered alien spacecrafts and maybe even dead aliens. David Grusch is a retired intelligence officer with the Air Force. He said under oath that people with firsthand knowledge have told him we've recovered UFOs before. Or UAPs, as they're called now. When asked if we've also recovered bodies, he said yes, but used the term non-human biologicals.
Huh.
So who? Okay. Two pilots also testified under oath, former Navy pilot Ryan Graves and other pilots who flew and saw UFOs. He said they looked like dark gray or black cubes inside a clear sphere.
Do you believe in UFOs?
I believe that there's... the universe is bigger than any of us can wrap our minds around. So
I don't not believe in them.
Yes,
but I'm not like a disciple of the little green Martian kind of. But I don't. I've not ruled it out.
I'm on the exact same page of this. I would not be shocked now we have some types of bits of quote unquote proof. So it's not too unshocking. And at the same time, like if we found out, it would be more shocking to me actually to find out that we scour the universe and it turns out we're it.
And there's no life whatsoever.
Yeah, that would be really weird. That would probably be more.
I also don't know. And this is just me, of course. I don't know that I need to know everything about it either.
Agreed.
Like there can be some mystery. And intrigue about it, unless they're like hurting us, like picking us off one by one or something. But
I'm not there's way too much else for me to get bent out of shape about to have the bandwidth for this to get bent out of shape about this. Like if the government's been keeping this from us, I'm more focused on other things.
I remember
the government is doing
when I was a kid and the first satellite I discovered in the air, but you had no idea that you know what I mean. They weren't as prevalent as they are now, and it was like, what is that?
All right. All right, quick story. quick that ain't right story for everybody. I pick on all these other people with that ain't right stories. It's time to put my give one for myself, and I think I've shared this story before. I first move out here, and my pop is trying to find things to do with this knucklehead kid, and he teach me to swim and all this, and he taught me how to fish. And they had two decks out in there at my Nana Papa's house in Rome in the Cove. So like 5-6 in the morning, go out there and I'd fish. And one morning I'm out there and I'm fishing and I'm not catching anything, but I pull in something heavy and I pull it in and it's this big gooey thing that's like the size of a volleyball. I've never seen anything like this in my life. It's amazing to me.
You're not scared?
Nuts? No,
okay.
Not at all.
Did it have teeth?
I'm freaking out with excitement. No. It was just like it was like the size of a volleyball, and it was big and gooey, and it looked like a bunch of small balls all attached into one big ball. And I get excited, and I'm like, I just made this huge discovery. This is awesome. I don't know if it's a dinosaur egg or what it is or anything like that. And I go running as fast as I can up to Nana Papa's house, and I grab my papa and I drag him down there. And he's so tired. He's like, "What are we doing with all this?" And he gets there, and I've got it still in the water on the hook.
Okay.
And my papa sees it as I pull it up, and before I even have the thing out of the water, he is on the floor laughing, on the deck laughing. So, Jimmy, those are fish eggs. They had a nursery and that they had released eggs and everything, and one of them had happened to get into our cove. But I thought I'd made some huge discovery or something like that. City boy over here. Yeah, that ain't right. That ain't right.
It's all right.
That ain't right. I've made fun of that one for a long time. We'll take a break, come back, and have some more fun with some other That Ain't Right stories. We'll make fun of other people. Coming up on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. How's this one? It's a Night Shift from the Commodores.
Yeah? Better. Yeah? It's better.
All right. Well, let's try another one.
Let's try another one.
Oh, yeah? Okay. All right. All right. Yeah. There we go. Now we can do the show.
This takes me back to, like, what was it on 103.3? Friday Night Dedications?
Yes, Friday Night Dedications. I knew right where you're going with it.
In the
Friday
80s? Night
We'd like to send this one out from Joe to Tammy. Tammy, please take me back.
But that's totally what it was.
It was always something like that. It was always something like that. It was like, please forgive me, Tammy. It
to
was
Sam like with that. Love.
Yes, yes. I am so glad I didn't have to be a DJ in those days.
I love that. You know who would be perfect doing that? Mm. Phil Hartley.
Oh, yeah. Phil would love something like that. Oh, yeah, yeah.
He'd probably add a little. Oh, you know, yeah. I mean, oh, that'd be awesome. Yeah.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We got to get to some That Ain't Right stuff, some good stories of the day, local stuff we want to cover as well. Jumping right into the That Ain't Right stuff here. You've probably heard about brushing, where online sellers send out stuff to random addresses just so they can boost their sales and 5-star reviews. This is the first I'm hearing of that. I didn't even know that was a thing.
Me either. What is it called?
Brushing. I don't know why it's called that. All right.
So weird.
Well, a woman in Virginia named Cindy Smith has recently received more than 100 packages from Amazon, and she didn't order any of it. And it isn't cool stuff like electronics or cookware. She says she's received about 1,000 headlamps, 800 glue guns, and dozens of pairs of binoculars.
That doesn't even make sense.
No. Which would be great if she spent her nights in the wilderness crafting and stargazing.
Well,
but
maybe she should. Yeah. But seriously, okay. If it was this brushing where they're trying to boost their stuff, why would you send multiples?
Yeah,
why would you send 100 binoculars? Like, why wouldn't you just send one?
Yeah.
That's just weird.
Cindy reported it to Amazon, and they don't think it's brushing. They think it's another scam where a foreign vendor sent overstock and returned merchandise to her because they had to remove it from Amazon's warehouse. Basically, they dumped the items on her randomly.
She did something to tick them off. No, there's a story. She ticked them off somewhere. Like
there's a little too much.
Maybe
to be.
She wrote them. Maybe she wrote a review that was not so nice. Mm-hmm. Now she's got all this garbage.
Cindy says she's giving the merchandise away to anyone she can, family, friends, even random people at Burger King. She's just like handing this stuff out. That's hilarious. Here's a lamp.
She's got the trunk of her car full.
Yeah. I don't know what I would do if like I'm like coming through the drive through at Burger King and somebody's giving me a glue gun. Like, I don't know what to do with that. I don't know if I'm even taking it. I don't know. Like, I don't know if I trust people
enough.
It's
kind of funny. I don't want that crap sent to me. If you somebody has crap to send, send it to James.
Yeah.
Not to me. But I'm just Cindy.
That ain't right. That ain't right.
That is just weird.
It's certainly not right, but we definitely needed the rain, so we'll roll with it. You probably heard by now, but if you did not hear, yesterday's game between the Woodchucks and the Rafters was rained out. It had been suspended due to weather in the area. It will resume the game on Monday at 4:05, followed by a 7-inning game. If you attended the game yesterday in Wausau, you'll still be able to attend this one. I believe that game will be in... Let me double check here. So if they're
going, it's away.
Yeah,
up there, right?
It is. So that works out. So they already were scheduled to play Wausau and Wausau on Monday. So they'll be playing a doubleheader. Let's do an Ernie Banks special.
Those
and play
are fun.
Too.
Honestly,
I mean,
you don't want the rain out, but I think it's fun when they do that.
I love doubleheaders,
and I think it's really funny when they are so. I mean, of course, I want the Rafters just to win everything, but when they're so skewed, you know what I mean? Like one team will blow out the first one, and then the other team blows out the second one. It's like, where were you guys for the opposite game?
Right?
You know, like what's going on?
The lightning that was going on last night was enough to call the game.
Fair enough.
So the Rafters are back in action tonight. Going to have a great one on the diamond, taking Wausau on at home at Witter Field. Get there if you can, everybody. We'll meet you there. It's going to be a great time down there. And keep in mind. Tonight is a special night at the ballpark because it is Anytime Fitness water bottle giveaway. It's keep hydrated. First fans at Winter Field to receive a water bottle courtesy of Anytime Fitness.
Now, really, they should hand them out full so you can spray them at each other.
Or drink them as hot as it might be. Keep cool out there, everybody, and enjoy your Rafters. Roll Rats. Every hit, every pitch, every win of Rafter baseball right here at WFHR. That game on Monday, the doubleheader, might bleed a little bit into Playmakers on Monday. We'll find out. Join us live and direct 3 to 4 every Monday for Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing.
Cool. You can go right from Playmakers right to Rafters, right?
Yeah,
have a little pregame. And
I love awesome. It. That's the way we wanted the show to be designed.
Well, finally someone listened.
So tonight, 6:20 pregame, or 6:20 opening pitch. No, pregame, sorry. Pregame will start at 6:20, first pitch at 6:35 at Wausau. I was trying to think of the doubleheader thing, but that's not tonight.
I was like,
Monday.
Blah, blah, blah.
Saturday, 5:50. At least I'm not paid to talk for a living. Saturday,
we thank you for that.
Raptors at Green Bay. They're going to be in Green Bay all weekend. Saturday and Sunday, they will be up there. 5:50 pregame on Saturday, 12:50 on Sunday. And of course, again, on Monday, we will have the doubleheader. Wanted to remind everybody about our Midday Magazine today from 3 to 4. Be sure to join us. In part one, Scott J. Seeger from the Aging and Disability Resource Center will be with us. Looking forward to talking with Scott. And then in part two, we'll be speaking with Craig Broren, superintendent with Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools, and Phil Beckelholt. He's going to be with us, director of technology.
Sounds great.
Looking forward to that. That is going to be a couple of great conversations that we are excited to have. Pam just sent this over. Thursday's Rafters at the Woodchucks game, of course, suspended. They will resume on Monday, followed by the 7 innings game. Yes, yes. Anyway, Civic Pints. I wanted to mention that as well. We got Civic Pints that everybody needs to know about. This is the blood donation challenge we are doing here at Civic Media. We call on all of you out there, all able-bodied people, to donate if you can, please. When you donate blood, please use the hashtag Civic Pints. Take a selfie, throw it out there, get yourself a chance to win Brewer tickets, State Fair tickets, and if you include the hashtag WFHR, you instantly win Rafter tickets.
I need to talk to someone in marketing because I think we should brand some pints of beer.
Ooh.
As like Civic beat, right? So then you could win for giving pints. You could win pints.
I like that. I think that though
could be root beer.
I think we're starting to get a little bit more into the gear and the marketing part
just,
of things.
Just, you know,
I think, you know, we're a young company, so I like the idea though. I like it a lot. A couple of big events going on this weekend. Of course, us at the Family Center have our Touch a Truck event happening. We encourage you to join us tomorrow from 11 to 3 over at Grand Rapids Lions Club. They're going to have the LifeLink helicopter, RV camper, semi-tractor, trailer, emergency vehicles, Wood County Sheriff's vehicle going to be there. Oh, the bucket trucks are going to be there as well.
And you can like climb around, mm-hmm. check them out, bring your kids if they ever, I mean, a lot of times there's a dump truck. Think mm-hmm. about that being a 3-year-old little boy. I mean, it's really cool.
It's
check
cool
it out.
To us big boys, too. The dump
oh,
trucks
yeah, sorry
are
about
cool.
the 3-year-old
dump trucks
thing.
Are always cool. Food, souvenirs, games, and prizes for kids, raffle baskets, a special appearance from Miss Wisconsin Rapids, Maria Hartley, along with some other special guests. A big thank you to all the sponsors behind this one. We greatly appreciate all of them, including our friends at the United Way, that help the Family Center do the vital work that they are doing in this community. When you come to this event, you're not just going to have a good time. You're not just going to enjoy yourself. All of that is great. It's such a fun event, but you are also standing on the right side of history with this. You are standing with the Family Center, and you are standing with this community's greatest leaders. You're standing with Mayor Blazer. You're sharing with Sheriff Sean Becker. You're standing with people like Terry and I. You are, I shouldn't consider myself
food?
One of
is
our leaders.
Is there
leaders.
Food there, too?
Yes, there's food there. Yes.
You can like make a, right? Kind of do a picnic thing. Make a day of it.
Yeah, I thought you were doing a
like,
joke.
Is there food? No, not really.
Sorry,
I mean, yeah, no, it's all good. But I was thinking about that. I was like, when we talked about it before, I think we just talked about like the, you know, the trucks. But so you can literally make the whole afternoon of right?
Oh, yeah. We'll meet you there 11 to 3 over at Grand Rapids Lions Club for Touch a Truck featuring the Family Center. And greatly appreciate everybody being a part of that one. And be sure to join our friends at the Historic Point Boss for the Lumberman's Lament, an original whodunit from Luke J. Conkle. Nice job, Luke. This is always fun every year when they do this. It's a nice job. And send a big shout out to Mike and all of our friends at the Historic Point Boss. Join them tomorrow from 2 to 5 over at 300 Wakely Road in Nakusa. It's going to be a really good time.
I'm very curious, and I wish I could go. Mm, I have two graduation parties tomorrow, so I can't. I'm already committed, but that is very intriguing to me. I think it'd be really fun.
Oh, it's such a good event. Go down there and see if you can figure out who done it at the
it's
Lumberman's
like
Lament. Yeah. And when you're there, you're helping the good people at the Historic Point Boss keep history alive. Go ahead and help them do that by taking in a great event, the original whodunit, from 2 to 5 tomorrow at the Historic Point Boss in beautiful Nakusa. And Terry, I wanted to wrap up with our local good stories with our good friends at the United Way, of course. You guys got a big one coming up. August 3rd is the deadline to register for Stuff the Bus.
Yes. So if you are in need of school supplies, if you qualify for free and reduced lunch, your children would qualify for free school supplies. Registration does close on August 3rd. So you definitely, if you have not already, want to get registered. We have you go to our website, uwswac.org. Put in some information about each of your children so that we know what supplies that they might need. And sign up for your time slot for pickup. The other thing is really important is where do we get those school supplies?
Yeah.
And that is at our Stuff the Bus event, which will be next week, Thursday, August 3rd at Lunch by the River. United Way will be the sponsor, so we encourage you to come on down to Lunch by the River and see us there. But we will also be collecting, sorting, and organizing school supplies so that we can then get those in the hands of the kids and families that registered. So we definitely have needs on our website. Mm-hmm. You can see the most needed items, but I will say this is just an easy thing. If you're out shopping this weekend, picking up, we're looking for solid color notebooks and folders. Mm-hmm. So red, green, blue, yellow. We don't need the fancy ones that cost more with the kitties on them, yeah, or whatever. I mean, those are nice, but that's really just not what we're packing. So, you know, it can be really helpful to us. If folders are, you know, four for a dollar, we'd really appreciate you spending that dollar and doing that. Plenty of folks say, I'm not interested. I don't want to go near the school supply aisle. You know, it's chaos. We also take monetary donations. That helps us cover the cost of the backpacks, right, and other items that we need to order, because sometimes we need, you know, 900 pair of scissors and we only had 700 donated. So we do have to order the difference, because we want to make sure every kid has as much of their school supply list as possible. So you know, we really appreciate you, the community, helping us do that.
Yeah, not very often you can make such an impact on the future. By doing these things, picking up these items, being a part of this event, you are impacting the future and helping the youth be that much smarter, that much more prepared, and feel that much better going into their first days of school.
Absolutely. And come on down and see us. We'll be handing out books for kids and doing a lot of fun stuff for United Way. So we look forward to seeing everybody on August 3rd.
Find out more at uwswac.org. Great show today, Terry. Thanks so much for hanging out with us.
You bet.
Have a good weekend, everybody. We'll meet you back here on Monday for more good stuff on the Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio.